Are you living a life that feels good? Could it be better? Welcome to the Pursuit of You podcast. I'm Jocelyn Kate. What does it mean to be in the pursuit of you? Identifying and validating your own feelings, communicating them in healthy ways, and building a network of people who will love and respect you in all the ways you deserve so you can experience ultimate happiness through emotional connection. Hey there, welcome back to The Pursuit of You. In this episode, I wanted to talk about setting goals, and specifically setting the right size goals. Setting small goals is an act of self-sabotage. And so when we set small goals, it can lead us to stories that will stop us from pursuing reaching the goal. It'll stop us from taking the action that we need to take to accomplish the goal. And when we set small goals, we don't see them as urgent. And so it's important when you want to reach your goals that they are the right size goals to motivate you forward. So they have to be big enough to pull you forward into action so that you do feel the need to be taking action little by little to reach the goal. But they also have to be attainable enough so that you feel comfortable pursuing them. And when we set goals that are too small, it can lead to a kind of attitude that will create procrastination, or it will bring us to avoidance behaviors where we may say that the goal is small enough that we can wait to start, or the goal is small enough that we aren't going to need to activate too much energy, or specifically the goal is small enough that we won't need to move around any other pieces of our lives. And when pursuing a new path or attempting to reach a new goal or wanting to manifest a new outcome for yourself, it's realistic to recognize what changes will need to take place in the other areas of your life. Adding in new pursuits is going to require that we restructure the way that our energy is currently being processed, or the way that we're currently managing the situations in our lives. And so when setting your goals, it's really important to be realistic about what needs to change in your life in order to access that goal. And if nothing needs to change in your life to access that goal, it means that the goal's not big enough. It's not big enough to motivate you, and it's not big enough to draw progress from you. So the goals need to generate kind of disruptive behaviors in our current patterns. And so I wanted to talk about why we sometimes set small goals, because I think even when we are looking to better our lives or change our situations, we can find ourselves, taking really small steps or small action or holding back in our pursuits of the change or of the goal or of the new situation. And the reason that so many people hold themselves back and play it small and set small goals is because of the meta-feeling layer that really disrupts our access to our core feelings and our core values. And so meta-feelings are the feelings we have about our feelings. And so that can be complicated, but I'll go through some examples of how meta-feelings can show up. For example, if you've ever been having a really great day and you've been feeling, joyful and peaceful and, it seems like things are going right in your life, and all of a sudden you have a feeling of, doom and gloom, or you question how you're going to pay for this moment later, or how you're going to pay for this happiness later, or what is going to come to disrupt this happiness. The feeling that you have because you have joy, you are suddenly having feelings about having joy, maybe anxiety or fear or worry. And so you're having a feeling about having a feeling. And when you have a feeling about a feeling, that really comes from a place of judgment. It comes from a place of should I have this feeling or shouldn't I have this feeling? And when we start asking ourselves whether it's okay or not to have our feelings, that's when we're starting to operate in the meta feeling layer, where we are judging our experiences and we're judging whatever comes up in an authentic and genuine way. And so your core feelings, they're often private. They're the first feelings that you have about a situation or a person or an event. And these feelings, they're really messages. And something I like to say is that feelings are messages. They're not intruders. And that's because any and every feeling that you have is okay. That doesn't mean that all behaviors attached to feelings are acceptable. But any and all feelings that you have is a message. And when you have a feeling, it's just letting you know that there is some behavior that you can engage in that will allow you to achieve peace or happiness or joy. And that's really what our feelings are telling us, whether they're happiness feelings, whether they are, you know, anxiety or grief. It is simply a message that we can take certain behaviors to experience something else, or to experience more of what we're experiencing, whatever our preference really is in that moment. When setting goals, if you're operating in the meta feelings layer, it's going to show up in a lot of ways. It's going to show up as a codependency. It's going to show up as people pleasing and worrying about how setting your goals is going to impact other areas of your life, which essentially is impacting other people or your care community. So when we're setting goals and fearing how other people may accept them or how they might fit into our lives, you know, that we're operating in that meta layer. Another way that this can show up is if you want to set goals for yourself and you get afraid of how big the goal is. So maybe you set an income goal for yourself, or maybe you want to own a nicer car, maybe you want to travel somewhere, and when you think about this goal or when you look at this goal, maybe you get scared or you get nervous, or you have feelings of apprehension. And these feelings that you have about that desire are the meta feelings. And when we don't process the meta feelings, they can really impact how we perceive the goals that we set that really come from a genuine and authentic place. And it can really cause us to play small and not find the things that truly feel in alignment with what we want and with who we are. And so identifying your meta feelings is really just identifying your judgments about feelings. Because when we judge other feelings, that's when we're starting to disconnect from that version of ourselves that's, you know, communicating messages. And when we're working in that meta layer, what we're really doing is trying to protect ourselves from what we think will happen if we access our core feelings. And, you know, this is something if you know, you have experienced emotional abuse or neglect or trauma, or if you have, you know, been repeatedly gaslit about your own feelings, accessing your feelings can feel unsafe. It can feel like an unsafe practice to identify and address and express and communicate about your own feelings. And that fear in addressing your own feelings and that fear in identifying your feelings and what's going on internally for you, regardless of what's going on for anybody else, is operating in that meta layer. And so to get through the meta feelings so that you can access the core feelings, you can create an access point. And creating an access point is really about talking to that protective version of yourself. And when the fight or flight response shows up, or when anxiety shows up, that's really the protector in you that is attempting to keep you small, that is attempting to ensure your survival and ensure your connection with your care community. And so it's attempting to serve a noble purpose. But, you know, we can obviously identify intellectually that it's not helpful to us. And when we identify something that's not helpful to us, we can choose to disengage with that practice. And so the meta feelings, they'll block you from processing those core feelings. No. To create that access point, it's important to first be aware and compassionate towards the fact that you may be operating in a meta layer experience. So to create the access point, what you want to do is go to a quiet place by yourself where you feel safe, maybe your bedroom, maybe a corner of your living room, some place that you generally feel physically safe. It's super important to create the sense of physical safety when you're wanting to develop your access point. So once you've come to the safe place, this is where you want to start writing to that version of yourself, to that protector, and talking to them and reassuring them, you know, either asking questions or making statements that allows that version of yourself to exist. So for example, if you want to set a large goal and you feel really nervous about setting that goal, think about the version of yourself that is saying the goal is unsafe. Because that's where the anxiety or the fear comes in, is that there's a version of yourself who believes that accessing that goal or pursuing that goal is going to be unsafe for you. And so if that feels unsafe, talk to the version of yourself. Ask them questions to uncover what it is they feel unsafe about, or make reassuring statements that you know they need to hear to understand that pursuing and accessing the goals is not going to be a physically unsafe endeavor. And when you create this access point, it allows you to work with all of the layers of yourself that are involved in setting and reaching your goals. Setting and reaching goals is really an important aspect of our intellectual health. And something I talk about frequently is the four aspects of our human experience: physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. And intellectual health is really about processing our intellectual experience. The intellectual experience is the stories and the emotions that are attached to the feelings and the physical experiences that we have. And so goal setting, it's one of those things that allows us to recognize progress in our intellectual space. And when we set goals, we are testing our own ability to identify the right goals for ourselves, identify the behaviors and the actions that will allow us to reach the goal, and we're testing our own inner trust. We're testing our own inner relationship. And in so many ways, we're really testing our ability to project our own success. We are testing our ability to maintain habits and behaviors that we've committed to. And when we engage in this, this is a practice in self-trust. And so setting goals and reaching goals is really how we can strengthen our self-trust. When we set goals and we fail to reach the goals, this is where we start to question our self-trust, and we start to wonder if we are capable of identifying the right goals for ourselves, or if we're capable of identifying the right behaviors and the actions that'll allow us to reach the goals. And what happens when we erode this self-trust, it leads to a cycle of then creating even smaller goals that we don't feel pulled to reach, and then further questioning whether we are capable of reaching goals, eroding the self-trust, and it becomes this kind of vicious cycle of self-sabotage. So really breaking that self-sabotage cycle is about addressing how you feel about the goals you set. It's about getting through that meta layer and, accessing that version of yourself who wants to keep you small and protected so that you can really lean into the authentic and genuine goals that are coming up for you. And when you feel safe to have goals, you will set them, you know, as big as you need to, as big as is your journey. And we all have different size goals, and there are different reasons for that. We have different backgrounds and experiences and desires and purposes. And because of that, it will lead us all to identify what a meaningful goal is. But because our own purpose is so important to us, and that is part of the spirituality health, that's part of the spiritual health aspect, the four human experiences. Our purpose is so important to us, and so, you know, it can be scary, it can be intimidating to set the goals that'll allow us to serve our highest purpose, and it can be difficult to lean into that vulnerability of identifying what a meaningful goal is. But what happens is when you are afraid of your own purpose and when you're afraid of your own goals, you start to operate in that meta feeling layer, and you start to direct your behaviors in a self-sabotaging way. And this is how we become disconnected from ourselves and disconnected from our purpose. So I invite you to try and make an access point. If you are setting goals and you are struggling to identify big goals, or you are struggling to really lean into the biggest goals that you have because you're afraid of what it means to reach the goals, or what it means to fail at reaching the goals, or what other people will think about you for either wanting them or reaching them, I invite you to create that access point and talk to that protective version of yourself, and really dig into why you're afraid of serving your highest purpose, of setting those high goals, and what's intimidating about the big goals for you. You know, if whether it's, you know, maybe you want to be completely debt free, and that means paying off your car and your mortgage. And, you know, maybe right now the job that you have doesn't align with that goal. So you may feel afraid to set that goal for yourself. You might feel like, no, I'll fail at that. It's too big. I won't do it. But if that goal really lights you up, if the idea of doing that really sets you free, then that is meaningful for you. That's something to do. And the way that that's connected to your highest purpose is overcoming where you are now and what it takes to get to where you want to be, or to whatever you see for yourself. And we all know the saying, it's the journey, it's not the destination. And that's really the idea of purpose, is the experience, because all of our outcomes are going to be the same. All of us are going to reach the same destination. But how we get there and the journey that we get there, that's really where we can find our own purpose. And, you know, it doesn't sound, you know, super attractive, and it doesn't sound super romantic to say that your purpose is in overcoming paying off your debt, or is in overcoming, you know, certain health situations. But these really are the transformational experiences. These really are the areas where transformation, where personal transformation takes place. And all of our emotional evolutions are a result of having an experience. And it can be an experience, you know, within a relationship. It can be an experience within a job. It can be simply a life experience of going through school or going to college or not graduating. And all of those things, all of those experiences are really contributing factors to the emotional evolutions that allow us to progress as a species. Because the biggest and most prominent difference that humans have that is separate from the animals is our ability to stack empathy and understanding and cooperation. We have this ability to experience emotional evolutions where we can use our empathy, we can use our awareness, and allow our awareness to understand someone else, or allow our awareness to let someone else understand us. And in sharing this awareness, we're able to more deeply cooperate and work together in creation and work together in manifestation of the things that we want to experience. And I want to talk about manifestation. In the next episode, I am going to talk about what it means to manifest things, because we are coming into a new year. And this is a big time. And that is such a buzzword right now, to manifest. And it's not a magical process. It's really a step-by-step process, and it's intentional. And it is so much about being able to get in alignment with your values and being able to access your core feelings so that you can use your own personal individual experience to identify and set the right goals so that you can actually manifest the things that you want in your own life. And manifestation, I talked a little bit about the five steps of creation. And so we're going to dive deeper into that, into how the five steps of creation really work for you in manifesting whatever it is that you want in your life. Because the five steps of creation apply to literally everything. They apply to everything. All things are created first off of awareness. Awareness, thought, belief, action, thing. So those are the five steps. So those are the five steps of creation. And we are going to talk about how to use those five steps of creation to set yourself on a manifestation path so you can actually reach the goals that you're setting for yourself. The first step is setting the right size goals. So important to set the right size goals that propel you forward, that pull you into progress, that don't seem small enough that you can procrastinate on, and don't seem unimportant enough that you can shove to the side. So important to set the right size goals. And when you want to do that, remember, create an access point. Create an access point to the protector who's keeping your goals small. Make sure you have the right size goals. And once you have the true goals, the goals that you are ready for, we will work through the five steps of creation so that you can actually manifest it. So join me in the next episode. We will talk all about manifestation. I cannot wait to dive deeper into that. And in the meantime, go to themiddaylatte.com, sign up to the newsletter. You'll get all kinds of goodies from me at the end of this year to remind you how to set your goals, how to get through those meta feelings, to keep yourself in that core feeling layer, and also reminders to join my group New Year More You, because I am hosting a self-care summit January 8th through the 11th, 2024, to help you get the right information. Because it, in my opinion, it's really about access to information to help people set the right routines and set the right self-care habits for themselves. In my opinion, access to the right information is the best form of self-care. When we know how to take care of ourselves in the physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual aspects, then we can set the right routines that help us thrive. So join the group. We're going to have a summit where the expert speakers will come on every day, and they will go through different aspects of the human experience, talking about finances, talking about home organization, talking about breath work, all the human things. So go to themiddaylatte.com, join the group New Year More You, and sign up to the newsletter. I would love to have you in the community. And I will talk to you in the next episode.